Here's a wild stat for you. Job seekers who reach out directly to hiring managers are 2 times more likely to land interviews. We've seen it over and over and over with our coaching clients. But most people either skip cold outreach because it feels awkward, time-consuming, or like, what the hell do I even say? Or worse, they don't skip it, but they do it wrong and make a bad impression. That's why I put together our interview-getting email templates with over 15 email and LinkedIn message templates, follow-up emails, AI prompts for quick customization, and a super, super simple strategy to help you book more interviews, all within minutes. You can grab them right now at carlyagar.com/emails, or just click the link in today's show notes. But do it fast, because these won't be available much longer. What if the only thing standing between you and your next big career milestone is just a strategy you haven't heard yet? I'm Carly Agar, customer success veteran, award-winning career coach, and your go-to for getting hired and promoted in customer success. Whether you're breaking into the field or ready to level up into leadership, this podcast is your shortcut to real career growth. Every episode is packed with practical takeaways, data-backed strategies, and zero fluff advice that actually works, so you can start making moves towards your goals immediately. If you're ready to take control of your career, well, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Customer Success Career Coach Podcast. I want to tell you about a client I'm currently working with. I'm going to call her Maya to keep her name anonymous for now. End of August, she sends me this email that basically says, I've been applying for jobs for weeks. Nothing is happening. I need help. It must be my resume. Like, it must not be telling my story. Fast forward 6 weeks later to the time that I'm recording this podcast, she is in late stage interviews with 3 of her top target companies. Now, obviously, the difference between August and October was not her experience, was not her skills. She didn't change anything except her resume and her overall approach to job seeking. And look, I know that we're heading into the holidays, job posts are slowing down, companies are going to go dark for a couple of weeks. A lot of job seeking activity just kind of stops. But this is the perfect time to fix the stuff that's been basically killing your chances of landing a job or getting interviews. Because come January, when hiring picks back up, you want to be ready to move really fast. So today I'm going to walk you through exactly what we fixed with Maya's resume, why all of that stuff that we fixed matters, and then how you can do the same exact thing before the new year. So let's get into it. Okay, first, a little backstory on Maya. She has been a CSM for over 10 years. Her last job, she was managing federal accounts. These are big, big accounts. We're talking like $30 million in ARR. One of the proof points she had on her resume was that she drove $11 million in expansion revenue in the first half of this year. She also closed the largest CSM source expansion deal in her company's history. So you might hear this and be wondering, how the heck was she not getting calls back? And that just goes to show you how much your resume matters. The reason she wasn't getting calls back is because her resume was terrible, for lack of a better word. It read like a job description. And this is an issue I see constantly, especially with you folks who have many years of experience. You think, my experience speaks for itself. Hiring managers are going to know exactly what I've done. I don't need to spend that much time on this. But hiring managers are scanning your resume for like 6 seconds, maybe 10 if you're lucky. So it does matter. Maya's original resume had a lot of bullets that read like this. Successfully guided the customer lifecycle and journey. Managed and nurtured strategic relationships. Acted as voice of the customer. Okay, like all of those things are good. That's cool that you did those things, but every other CSM has done those things too. There's no proof. There was no context. There was no like story to her experience. And the one thing that really killed her was she was burying all the good stuff about her impact. So in one of her bullets, she mentioned, like, responsible for a book of 30 million ARR, adding over 11 million in new revenue. But this was like in the middle of a 47 word run-on sentence buried halfway down the page. Her biggest win was hidden in a paragraph that literally nobody was going to read. So sad. Makes me so sad. And I see this all the time. So when she reached out, she said, I want to work with you because I'm tired of spending hours every day applying into a black hole. And it's a good thing because she would have been stuck in that black hole for a long time if she didn't change her resume. So now I'm going to walk you through the five major changes we made to her resume. And I'm going to point this out in a way so that you can take what we did on her resume and apply it to your own. So every single one of these five things is going to end with, now, how can you go apply this to your own resume? So make sure you stay till the end and by all means, pay attention. Okay, change number one was we started her resume with proof. Originally, it had started with a really fluffy summary. So her original summary said she was a quote-unquote strategic trusted advisor with expertise in consulting, revenue growth, and governance. Which, like, sure, she is all of those things, but that's just adjectives stacked on adjectives. It doesn't really mean a whole lot. So we rewrote it to say, senior customer success manager with 10 plus years of experience supporting complex enterprise and federal sector accounts across SaaS, cybersecurity, and healthcare. Proven track record of managing 30 million plus ARR portfolios, driving $11 million plus in expansion revenue, and achieving 94% plus annual retention. Do you see the difference? We didn't have to claim that she was strategic because we showed them that she's strategic by giving a ton of results. You don't get those results by not being strategic. And we also front-loaded her summary with numbers that matter to hiring managers. ARR, now they know the scope of the role she's held. Expansion revenue, retention. Boom, immediately hiring managers are going to go, oh my God, I want to learn more about this person. So what I want you to do now is look at the summary at the top of your resume and ask yourself, will this make a recruiter or hiring manager stop and think, holy shit, I need to keep reading the rest of this? Because if not, that means you probably have a bunch of meaningless adjectives and you don't have a lot of proof points. So fix that. Moving on to the second big change we made with Maya's resume was we made sure that every single bullet point on that page was specific, measurable, and relevant. This is where most resumes completely fall apart. And trust me, I probably look at nowadays 4 to 450 resumes a month. These are all folks who have raised their hand to say, I'm applying to jobs in customer success. And a lot of you, your bullet points, honestly, like, I don't know how else to say this other than they just suck. They're vague. They describe a lot of responsibilities. They don't really have outcomes. They're too long-winded. Like, your bullet points are just not good. So an example of one of Maya's was, this is a real bullet point from her original resume, successfully guided the customer lifecycle and journey, including onboarding, implementation, adoption, and maturity. And like, some of that is good. I like that what we're learning is the scope of the role. I like that we know what parts of the customer lifecycle she owned, but that's like, again, just a lot of words. And also, I hate the word successfully because, like, what does that mean? How do I know you were successful? So we changed it so that we would still be able to talk about the scope of her role, but we made it much more clear. Managed 27 strategic and enterprise federal accounts totaling $30 million in ARR, supporting identity security adoption and modernization across on-prem and cloud-based platforms. Now, that also sounds like a lot of words, but because of the industry she's in, it makes sense. But what we did was We kept the scope, we kept the size of the portfolio, and we also highlighted the complexity of the work, which is going to appeal to hiring teams in the industries she wants to work in. That's just one example. We did this with every single bullet point. We took the key takeaway, what's important, added metrics, made them shorter, made them easier to read. So another bullet point we ended up with was mitigated churn risk for a $2.8 million ARR account by analyzing Gainsight health scores and implementing a collaborative turnaround plan. There's no fancy words in that bullet point, but it still makes a huge impact. So what I want you to do is for every single bullet point on your resume, do not get lazy. Every single bullet point on your resume should answer these three questions. What did you do? How did you do it? And what was the result? If that bullet point does not answer all three, it either needs to be rewritten or it needs to be taken off the page. Change number three. This is another thing that most people miss is we made sure that when we were talking about results and the things that Maya did, we also talk about how she did them. Not just what she did and the results she achieved, but how she got those results. This one can be a little bit tricky to understand without an example, so I'm just going to go right into the example. So Maya's original bullet point said, customer-centric top performer, including 94% retention rate, discovery and upsell of the largest deal for a CSM in the company. So what we can take away from this is she had great retention numbers and she had the biggest upsell for CSMs in her entire company. But how did she get there? How did she have this 94% retention rate? And how did she get this largest deal for a CSM in the company? Did she just get lucky? Probably not, but we don't know that based on that bullet point. So what you can do is if you have all these results and you want to show the how, you can break them into multiple bullet points. So for instance, two new bullet points we put into her resume to replace that one I just read to you were acted as trusted advisor to C-level stakeholders with 70% EBR exec participation rate. Now, that we didn't actually call out retention in that specific bullet point, but hiring managers know if you have a 70% EBR exec participation rate, you're going to have better retention. The other bullet point we added was partnered with sales to uncover growth opportunities, earning peer nominated impact award and multiple CSM of the year awards. So now you can actually picture her doing the work that led to that huge upsell that she had. You see that she's not just hitting these numbers by luck. She is clearly building strong executive relationships in her accounts. She is clearly great at collaborating cross-functionally if she's winning these awards. And that is how she got 94% retention and the biggest upsell deal in her company. That kind of stuff is the difference between a resume that says, I'm pretty decent at my job, like, here you go. If you want to talk to me, great. And a resume that says, like, I'm the freaking best. You're not going to find someone better than me. I'm everything you're looking for and then some. Like, if you don't call me, you're crazy. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but it's just so true. So go audit your resume. Again, we're looking at bullet points and make sure that throughout the whole thing, if you're stating an outcome, is your process also included in that bullet point or in another bullet point? In other words, can you look at an outcome or a result that you've driven and somewhere else on that resume figure out, oh, okay, that's how he got there. Oh, okay, that's how she was able to do that thing. That is the kind of stuff that hiring managers need to see, especially in a super competitive job market. Change number four, we cut out a lot of fluff from Maya's resume. She had lots of walls of text under each role. Hiring managers, recruiters, they don't read walls of text. They scan. So we broke everything into really tight bullet points. We tried to keep every bullet point to one or two lines maximum, made sure we didn't have any like awkward spillover into the next line. So what I mean by that is if you have a bullet point where like one word spills over into the second line, you better figure out a way to get that bullet point to fit on one line. We made simple formatting changes, like making sure that company names and titles were all bolded, obviously used numbers wherever we could, and we just cut out a lot of stuff that wasn't moving the needle, wasn't super important. What do I mean by that? For instance, Maya had her education section taking up almost a quarter of a whole page because she had multiple degrees, and then she also had courses towards a master's degree. It was just taking up way too much room. So we condensed all of that into two lines at the bottom. She also had a big skills section of like hard skills, soft skills. We completely just erased that. Your work experience should be taking up 80 to 90% of your resume, whether it's one or two pages, does not matter. We don't need long education, certifications, skill sections. It's unnecessary. Honestly, my biggest piece of advice here is take your resume, throw it into ChatGPT, and say something like, maintain the integrity of this resume as best you can, but try to lower the reading grade level and cut some words out and see what it does. It's really, really good for edits like that. Moving on to the last big change, change number five. This is another one I just see all the time. Can you tell I'm currently feeling frustrated by resumes? Because I did look at a lot today, and it just makes me sad when I see these mistakes over and over and over again. But change number five was we made her accomplishments industry agnostic. This one is like pretty subtle, but it's so important. What I mean by this is Maya's original resume was too specific to her company. She had, like, here was one bullet point on her original resume. It said, deep experience working with resellers and managed service partners across federal agencies to address cyber and identity security mandates, which is great if you know what any of that stuff means. But if you're a recruiter or hiring manager and you have no idea what half those words mean, it's literally just a waste of space on your resume. It means nothing. So, we made sure to rewrite a lot of that stuff to focus on the transferable skill, the terms that were going to be industry agnostic. So that bullet point could have easily just said, partnered with technical implementation agencies to develop tailored solutions for complex customer cases. They say the same thing, only one is much easier to understand and will apply to so many more people. This is huge for career transitioners or anyone who's targeting a different industry. It's pretty rare that I talk to a job seeker who like loves the industry they're in. Oftentimes we just get bored, right? We want to move on to the next thing. So I know most of you are at the very least targeting a different industry from the one you've been working in. You need to make sure you're translating your experience into language that is going to work across companies and across industries. So go through, audit your resume, read every single bullet again, and ask yourself, like, would someone outside my company or outside my industry understand what I'm saying here? If the answer is no, you got to rewrite it. If the answer is I'm not sure, you got to rewrite it. So what happened after we made these changes? So Maya started with us. She officially like signed on to work with us at the very end of August. I want to say it was August 28th. She had her final resume ready to go by September 11th. And on October 9th, so not even a full 4 weeks later, she was in late stages with three of her target companies and had just wrapped a second round interview with her top target company, where she shared that on the call, the director actually told her, like, I've heard a lot about you. The recruiting team is talking about you. They keep mentioning you, keep hearing your name coming up. So I was super excited to finally meet you. And none of this happened because she applied to 50 more jobs a week or started writing cover letters. It's just simple. It's because her resume was finally good. It was easy to read. It expressed her impact. It was skimmable. Like, the basics work, guys. I cannot emphasize this enough. I know this is the boring stuff, but oftentimes it's the boring stuff that makes us successful. All right, so quick recap. What you need to now go do to make sure your resume doesn't suck. Number one, rewrite your summary. Make sure it leads with numbers and it's not just a bunch of like fluffy adjectives. Number two, audit every single bullet point and make sure it answers what you did, how you did it, and what the result was. Number three, make sure that for any outcome you have listed, you are showing your process. How did you get there? What was your approach? What were the actions that you took that led to the outcome? Number four is make it easier to read. Make it scannable. Like I said, throw it in ChatGPT. Tell it to maintain the integrity, but lower the reading grade level and cut out some fluff. And then number five is make sure you've translated any industry-specific or company-specific language, acronyms, whatever it may be, into universal terms that any recruiter or any hiring manager in any industry with any background is going to be able to understand. All right, that's it for today. I do have a free masterclass on optimizing your resume for customer success roles. If you somehow have not taken it yet, I don't know where you've been, but if you go to carlyagar.com/CS-resume, we'll put the link in the show notes. You can get the free masterclass. I walk through every single section of your resume. There's a ton of examples. It's like so easy to follow. So if your resume isn't getting callbacks and you have yet to do that masterclass, it's literally free. So I don't know why you wouldn't. So I would just go do that. If you want even more help than the free masterclass will give you, whether it's with your resume, your interview prep, or your entire job search strategy, my team and I work with CS job seekers every single day. If you go to carlyagar.com/apply, you can apply to work with my team more closely. And last thing I'll leave you with is if you found this episode helpful, if you found it valuable, make sure you subscribe to the show. That way you won't miss any future episodes and it helps me out, gonna be totally honest. So thanks for listening and I'll catch you in the next one.